Welcome to American Indian Living, a program developed by the Native Education and Health Initiative to improve and enhance the health of people throughout the Native communities. American Indian Living is hosted by Dr. David DeRose, a board-certified specialist in both internal medicine and preventive medicine. Dr. DeRose has a wide range of experience with Native health issues, and he's ready today to help you learn more about your health. Here's Dr. DeRose.
Welcome to American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We're continuing a series of very special programs that we're recording at the National Congress of American Indians in Portland, Oregon. It's November of 2011 where these shows are being recorded. So regardless of when you're listening to them, right now the ambiance here is of great excitement, a lot of excitement in Indian country, many great things happening, and many great people coming to the table helping us to better appreciate what is happening among First Nation peoples in the areas of health and education. A very special guest with me at our booth today in this segment, Vice President Jim of the Navajo Nation. Vice President, it's wonderful to have you with us on today's show.
Thank you.
You are going to be doing something very special for us on today's program. You are going to be speaking in Navajo in this first portion of our segment. For those of you in our listening audience who are Navajo, you're going to enjoy this special feature. For those of you that don't know the Navajo language, stay tuned because Vice President Jim and I will be speaking in some detail about what he's sharing and why he's sharing it in Navajo. So I'm going to turn the time over to you, Vice President, and then we'll go from there.
Tachini bashes chin kia ani dashichi na kaiden edashinale. Sensades ahado eya nasha, aro shiche has tin odi tail or yeshinale e san net law. Shamasane is san a san sedent benale, will ye? Aro shinale has tin ye na kaiden nebetis chedol ye. Yat eto heheshik e a con, a dahuis arge, keda hot inigi. Dequidi NCAI. Wel yego e a kineka ba kagish leje dan tsate a kelta halne ben hichen da hazt egi highlight ego da ni lo khit a be hini tra do hanne a ko tsada large in long ba hin inigi e ane he olni na hasalan gi khit ego e ya ne liye jon ne he e ya nin khit el ya tigin de ne an hin la an da be haz ane bin khit el ya ni za don he ol in Yet Laton hit it, Arge. They had a neat energy, J. Tatoba wind, a cockodich, a yan, na ragi beta, a haya, Anne he, nits is bar, will ya, Anne hitch a yan, hajo ill, it, and a rede, nikichain him a sunder. Yet, ene, J. Anne hippada hoodil are. Adonda Sendotorizen, but not yehegi, Ada benda hoodil are. A ko aid e ya be need aid ole se yat a nan ne taro tsana ne kes ole nash ne ne jin kha chin ba it eben ye ko don hi kha sti shi ke tsada yat e ko al kha ta ho ya al na jin hi zad be na ho a to be yat ki I don't hear all in aid be na kha in the chi yan kha yat e gi nan se et kha se Bila nda benest aadat enigi beket olda. Jo ee tida yisin khayaat ee nda nalt looji. Bitsi nukhayaat eegi jo ee da deit naango. Ukut eego ee ishin tla khani ee da nalt ki daad ee khayshi. Nikits eespe bich ee nakhuyil nanigi doot ee da doolilt. Aanikhi aneet eego jo oot aad ee doonil. Ee ya khut eego. Ben ki chikhaas zi doolil. Aadu nda nalnish tlaas ee. Nan nishad nol chalkhid ego e akhiln datil nishdo khil khati cha jota di ni go do be akhiln da khil ne enda be has ani khatat ne do be da in nishki ani khi khatat ne go ne khi ne khayat e gi ne khat chen ne gitso ken gi nalike bayat e gi jo e de ego e ne khayat e ko hot ego e pan sa khis kon tso go shed ne ke chen hi khades thank you
Thank you, Vice President Jim. I know some of our listeners probably were wondering why such a presentation in the Navajo language. Can you share with us some about the significance, both of what you presented and why we did it in Navajo?
Well, thank you for this opportunity. First and foremost, I truly believe that we need to have first access to our own minds in our own language. Mm. That internal conversation with ourselves is so important. When I speak in Navajo, that's exactly what I'm doing. For example, when you say Nahasan Shema, Earth Woman, my mother, in Navajo, it's much better when you say Nahasan Shema, because Earth is no longer just Earth. Mm-hmm. It's no longer just a planet. It becomes a living entity, and you have a direct connection to her in terms of treating her like your own mother. If you love your mother, you treat her in certain ways. Mm-hmm. And so if you address the Earth as your mother, then you respect her through actions in certain specific concrete ways. And so it's important for all of us to relearn our language and do what we need to do to preserve our language, to celebrate in our language, our songs and our prayers and our traditions, our cultural ways, our ceremonies. Those are done entirely in Navajo, on Navajo. And it's so important. Place names, names of gods, and special ways of talking to the plants. It's all done in Navajo. To me, it makes more sense in Navajo. I think I would feel silly if I were to do it in English.
It's exciting to me to see just the whole revitalization of culture and tribal languages. Now, in Navajo country, Navajo Nation, this is something that there's still a lot of elders who speak the language. Other parts of Indian country, language is disappearing, and there are great efforts to revitalize it. I know many tribes look to the Navajo people, and they say, you have something that we need to recapture in maybe our small tribe or our small band. How do you reply to that kind of interest in what's happening in your nation?
I think it's important enough to do what you need to do. In Navajo, there's a group of Navajo teachers, a group of Navajo citizens who came together and actually had levels 1 and 2 of the Rosetta Stone developed. And they're not doing this to sell our language, but rather to preserve it. It's under the auspice of the Rosetta Stone's Endangered Language Program. Mm-hmm. And it's available online, and they're willing to distribute this to the classrooms for free.
Okay.
And so we need to be innovative like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm beginning to work with the Breadloaf School Teacher Network, the Rural Teachers Network. They have a program where a group of students in Alaska can study a piece of literature and talk and write about it online with another group of students in South Africa.
Okay.
And so a group of Navajo students can engage in dialogue on literature with a group of students in India.
Uh-huh.
And that's going on right now. Having that in place and having been a part of that program, I would like to see a similar program with Navajo, on Navajo, between the schools, and then have a Navajo language teacher in Rock Point teach online a group of students in another school where there are no Navajo teachers available.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we use technology like that, we are not only teaching our language and engaging in meaningful dialogue, and in this case, a student and one part of Navajo will be engaging in dialogue with another student, another part of the reservation. And that way, they have a real audience. Mm-hmm. And so they'll be serious about learning the language. And in that way, not only are they learning to speak it, but learning to write it as well. At the same time, creating text mm-hmm. that they can talk about. And the good thing about this type of program is I, as a published writer in Navajo, I can sit in and look at what they're doing and be able to talk to them as well.
Uh-huh.
So not only that, but we would like to do something similar so that Navajos anywhere in the world can tap into that program and be able to read it and write it and participate. So we need to become as innovative as we can so that that's what needs to happen. And so we're doing things like that. And there are other ways we can promote language. Like one time we were at the Navajo, what's called Song and Dance Festival.
Mm-hmm.
It was Navajo Language Night. And there's this student that was all dressed in black. And I said, how is he going to promote Navajo language? And he started rapping. Uh-huh. And the rap was in Navajo. And it hit me. It's like, yeah, this is the different ways that language could be used.
Uh-huh.
But we think of native language, we think of ceremonies, and we think of culture, but we forget that language has its own capacity to expand and to cover more and do more. Uh-huh. And this young people was reminding me of that. And that's such a wonderful thing, so we need to do more programs like that. So whatever is available, if it works, let's use it.
Vice President, a lot of people, as they talk about strengthening indigenous languages, they say there's a powerful connection between culture and language and health. How do you see that playing out in the Navajo Nation?
My uncle was a medicine person. Mm-hmm. So I went to see a medicine man because I wanted something done for me. And he said, these are the different plants you need to get. There were about 18 of them. So since I'm literate in Navajo, I wrote it down.
Uh-huh.
I only knew two of them. So I went home and asked my uncle, and he said, well, two of them are in the mountains, the rest are here. So the next day we went out and gathered the plants and says, this is the name of this plant and this is why it's how I use it.
Uh-huh.
And the whole land came alive because I knew the name of plants and how they're used, the songs and the praise associated with them. It was such a wonderful experience.
Uh-huh.
So the language connected me to the land in ways that I didn't know the land before.
Mm-hmm.
And you felt safe, you felt comfortable, you're at home and you're at ease and you're joyful. And just that process itself was healing.
Mm-hmm.
Almost enough that I didn't need the ceremony. So it's the same way with, you know, when you speak language, for example, the Navajo idea of balance, harmony, is expressed in one word, Huajon. Mm-hmm. And when you start a prayer and say, Huajon na shado, may I walk in beauty, it does something to you. You're feeding good, positive language
mm-hmm.
to your mind. And that's what allows you to pray, to sing, to express who you are, to give that Navajo voice. And when you have that connection with language in that specific ways, you feel much better and you feel happier and you laugh, and it's a wonderful experience.
What's interesting to me as a physician is the whole area of language is becoming a focus in dealing with our emotions. One of the most effective ways of improving emotions in the psychiatric community is what we call cognitive behavioral therapy. And it's really designed with the language that you tell yourself. And so what I hear you saying is really resonating as a health professional with a growing area that's empowering people to be well in whatever culture they're in.
Yes, when you think well, when you speak well, you act well.
Vice President Jim, unfortunately, our time has just slipped away. I am so glad that you pulled yourself away from your many responsibilities to address our listeners and especially to share in Navajo with our many Navajo listeners throughout Indian country. Thanks so much for joining me.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We'll be back with more on this edition of American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
Today's American Indian Living radio program is sponsored in part by Wimar Center of Health and Education. Located in the foothills of Northern California's Sierra Mountains, Wimar is home to the Residential New Start Lifestyle Program that helps people of all races address diabetes, heart disease, obesity, and related conditions. To further assist Native Americans with their health, Wimar produces a wealth of free resources that can be accessed on their website at newstartclub.com. To learn more about how Wimar can change your life, you can call 1-800-525-9192. The number again is 1-800-525-9192. Or you can access them on the web at newstartclub.com. Again, that's newstartclub.com.
Some important social statements by United States citizens today on policy.
To be a good American, you've got to like people, share things, and not scream at people. And you should also help them, and then you can share at them.
A statement on historical tradition and our form of government.
I love America because it got government full of people and full of people. For the people.
A statement on down-to-earth American idealism.
I like living in America because it means freedom. It means that you can do most stuff you want as long as it doesn't, like, hurt anybody and you have to work hard to keep it.
America, a statement in summary.
I love America because everybody's equal. And when you play with other kids and they dunk you, you can dunk them back.
You're listening to a pre-recorded broadcast of American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE, 1-800-775-4673. Here again is your host.
You're back with Dr. David DeRose at the National Congress of American Indians in Portland, Oregon, November of 2011. And with me here in the studio, our virtual studio here at the booth, is Kovita Hill. Kovita, you've heard from perhaps earlier on this particular series. She's speaking to us today about something that I know resonated with a lot of people throughout Indian country, namely her experience in dealing with lifestyle-related diseases while at the Lifestyle Center of America. That institution in the heart of Indian country in Oklahoma no longer functions in the capacity in which she worked, and actually I worked side by side with her. But Kovita, you shared with us earlier in our series of programs here, and I know you've got some other great stories that will resonate throughout Indian country. Before we go there, tell us just again a little bit about your background, because some of our listeners may not have heard the previous show segment you did in this very series at National Congress.
Okay, I've been a nurse for approximately 40 years, and during the last 13 years of my nursing experience, I had the privilege of working at a preventive lifestyle center in the beautiful Arbuckle Mountains of Oklahoma. And before I started work there, I was sure that I had a lot of knowledge about diabetes, but when I started working there, I found I knew nothing. The medical profession outside of preventive lifestyle does not have a good grasp on how to help patients with diabetes reverse their diabetes. So it was the best experience that I've had of all my nursing years. And we had some wonderful, miraculous things happen while we were there. And I would like to share with you two people that were amazing. amazing, miraculous discoveries.
When you talked with me after a previous segment that we did here about some of the other stories you remembered, you and your sister, I said we've definitely got to get this on the air while we're here at National Congress together, because I'm based in Northern California now and you're still in Oklahoma, and there wasn't going to be an easy way to sit down face to face and do some of these exciting stories on the air. So tell us, Covita, about some of these other memorable people that came with serious illnesses and how you saw a lifestyle-based program turn their health around.
All right. I'd like to tell you about a lady that came to our lifestyle center, that came to us because we were her last hope. She was in very serious, critical health. When she came in, she was confined to a wheelchair. She was quite overweight. She was on a large amount of insulin. She had diabetic boule of both of her legs. Those were blisters that she brought all of her own dressings along for this.
Bandages,
huh? Yes, dressings and bandages. And she could not walk. And we began with our program, which was a vegan-based diet. And as much as we could do in exercise for her, which she could do very little the first session that she was there. But she was with us for two back-to-back sessions.
So a session would be exactly how long?
I'm sorry, 18 days. Our sessions lasted 18 days. So she was with us two back-to-back 18-day sessions.
So this program that we were running together at the Lifestyle Center of America some time ago, there are still centers like this throughout the country. People may have heard names like Wildwood or Yuchi Pines or Weimar, where I'm based, the Black Hills Health and Education Center. So throughout Indian country and in various places, there are programs still like this. But it's this idea of people coming and living in a facility with health professionals and actually addressing their disease. So she goes through two back-to-back programs. She's there for like 6 weeks altogether then, right? And what happened over that time period?
Well, at the end of the second session, her diabetic boule was completely healed.
All the blisters were gone?
The blisters were gone. That was healed, and she could walk. She no longer needed a wheelchair.
Wow.
So when she left after the second 18-day program, she walked out of there.
Tremendous.
And it happened to be that this was over the Christmas holidays. So she left for a month, came back for another month, and stayed with us for 18 days. And by that time, she was on oral agents and no injectable insulin. She could walk and exercise some. And so she was doing, it was like witnessing a miracle to see the change that she had developed within three programs. Well, after the third program, she went home for a year, and she was a night person. So she would go to a nearby grocery store every night at midnight and walk. In a year, she came back to us, and she had lost 100 pounds, and she looked like a new person.
This is so exciting, because the argument that I hear from many health professionals and many people that aren't health professionals, they say, sure, bring someone to a residential program, have them live there. Yeah, you can feed them whatever, you can have them exercise, but when they go back home, they're going to go back to their old lifestyle. But here's a concrete example of a woman. She goes through this program, she goes back home, and she sticks with it, and she keeps making improvements. She lost 100 pounds?
In 1 year.
That's fantastic.
That is a miracle. And not only that, I remember another man that we had whose condition was just as bad as hers. Mm-hmm. He did not have diabetes, but he had severe COPD. He was
so
very
overweight.
So what does
that mean for the layperson? What is COPD?
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, COPD would be chronic obstructive pulmonary disease.
So like emphysema,
like
or
emphysema,
chronic
bronchitis,
right?
Where he
like
had
that.
A lot of difficulty breathing. When he came in, he was in a wheelchair. He was on continuous oxygen day and night. He was there for our 18-day program. Mm-hmm. And we began him on the vegan diet. And he had determined that he was going to do some kind of exercise. So he had a machine that enabled him to be able to walk in our swimming pool and still get oxygen. So every day, twice a day, he walked for 30 minutes in this swimming pool.
So you say a machine to help him get oxygen. Was he on had one of those cannulas, one of those
He
tubes?
Had a cannula. Yes, he had an oxygen concentrator.
Okay.
With oxygen because he couldn't function without it. Mm-hmm. And so he did this every day, twice a day, and he had a young wife who was determined to save his life. So she worked really closely with him in encouraging him. And he was there for just the 18 days. And they went home, and he continued this program of the same type of diet. He went to a YMCA mm-hmm. twice a day and continued the water walking.
Okay.
And after approximately 4 months, he went back to his doctor, and they did another pulmonary test on him. Mm-hmm. And his O2 saturation had gone from about 84 to 86 to 94, which is unheard of. They thought that the numbers were wrong, so they repeated the test twice, and both times he had a 95% oxygen increase.
So basically, this is showing the oxygen saturation, for those who aren't familiar with it. It's basically
right.
showing a dramatic improvement in his lung function.
Right.
And so the doctors are mystified, but basically it was a lifestyle-related program. It wasn't changing his drugs at all?
I believe they were able to decrease his inhalers
okay.
because he was doing so much better. And he came back. We didn't hear from him again for... After he left for 8 months, he came back, came up to our nurse's station, and we looked at him, and we knew who he was, but we couldn't believe what we saw.
Mm. Uh-huh.
And he finally asked us, "Don't tell me you've forgotten who I am." And we just said, "What happened to you?" He had lost 100 pounds. His O2 sat actually stayed around 95%,
uh-huh.
and he was a well man.
Amazing.
I mean, he walked up the stairs without any difficulty, and occasionally he might need a little bit of oxygen at night, but very, very seldom. He was on an exercise program without even needing the oxygen.
Amazing. It is powerful what can happen when people put themselves on a lifestyle in harmony with the Creator's plan. We're hearing a lot about that at the National Congress. Thank you so much, Kovita, for sharing your story, your experience, and seeing how these natural remedies are powerful. We're going to have more from the National Congress of American Indians in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away. I'm Dr. DeRose.
American Indian Living will continue in a moment. If you have questions or comments about today's pre-recorded broadcast, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673.
America's veterans have served our country in both war and peace.
It's because of people like you that we are free.
My class was learning about war and how hard it is.
I wanted to do something to let them know how I feel.
Now there is a way to thank them for helping keep America free. Log on to thankyouveterans.org and type a personal message of thanks.
Dear Dad, I've recently come to understand how important your service to America was, and I just wanted to say thank you.
There are 26 million veterans living in America today, from World War II to Afghanistan and Iraq.
We carry our experiences inside. It's nice to have someone say thanks.
Let a veteran know you appreciate their service. Log on to thankyouveterans.org, a public service of Paralyzed Veterans of America.
This is the Duchess of York. What's really important in your life? It's your family and your friends. But isn't it also your health? People who are overweight or obese are at a greater risk for illnesses such as cancer. Check your BMI or body mass index. The lower the number, the lower the risk. So lose weight in a healthy way. You'll lower your BMI number. Now, isn't that important? Visit the website of the American Cancer Society at www.cancer.org. You and your family and friends will be glad you did.
Thank you for listening to American Indian Living. If you missed some of the discussion, CD copies of today's show are available. CDs of previous broadcasts are also available. Our email address is AmericanIndianLiving@lifetalk.net. CD requests and comments can also be communicated by phone at 1-800-775-4673. That's 1-800-775-4673. Stay with us for the second half of today's program.
You're listening to a pre-recorded broadcast of American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE, 1-800-775-4673. Here again is your host.
Welcome back to a special edition of American Indian Living. We've been hosting a series of programs from the National Congress of American Indians this year, 2011, November, being held in Portland, Oregon. I'm the host, of course, of the show. Many of you are regular listeners, but I've been bringing to the table, really, we've had the good fortune of having many people throughout Indian country join us on these very special shows that we've been recording at the National Congress of American Indians. We've had health leaders, we've had tribal leaders, and in this segment, we're speaking with someone who I think many of you, if you've been listening to this series from the National Congress, really related to very well, and that is the sister, actually the twin sister of Kavita Hill, who was on the previous segment. It's Laquita Baker. Laquita and Kavita are twin sisters. Hard to differentiate on the air by their voice, but they were two wonderful people that I worked with some years ago at the Lifestyle Center of America in Oklahoma. That institution no longer functions as a health facility, but these two ladies, these two registered nurses, have been working at National Congress doing screenings. Laquita, some may not have heard some of the earlier segments we've done at the National Congress. You've been partnering with Roche Diagnostics in doing these screenings. What all have you been offering here?
Actually, we've been offering blood sugar checks, cholesterol checks, as well as blood coagulation testing.
It's exciting to me to see what just has happened. I've been coming to National Congress for a number of years doing radio shows, and they've really stepped it up this year because blood sugar testing has been pretty familiar in the past.
Correct.
But to do the finger stick cholesterol tests and the coagulation test for people that are on Coumadin or warfarin, I mean, that's a real service.
That's correct. We have not been doing that previously, and so we're real happy to add this to the program.
And I've gathered just from having the radio booth right adjacent to where Roche Diagnostics has it set up and you registered nurses and others are doing the testing, that the cholesterol has probably been one of the more popular items that you've been offering. Is that right?
Yes, it has, probably even more so than the glucose testing. And I'm guessing some of that is because it's something new that we're offering this year.
And presumably some of the folks here, if they are following their blood sugar, they know what the reading is. They may even have their own monitor, but not too many people carry their own cholesterol monitor, right?
That's correct.
Well, I have you on this segment, Laquita. You and I spoke about that because we've been talking about the power of lifestyle. Kavita just shared with us these thrilling stories of people who totally turned around their health. And I think anyone listening heard that one of the common denominators was exercise. We first heard about a woman who came in a wheelchair, could hardly do anything, but really caught the vision, improved, was faithful to exercise, had great results. Then we heard the story of a man whose lungs were so bad he had to be on oxygen. He couldn't be walking around on the ground. He had to be in a pool helping to support his weight. He was so he could actually handle the exercise. And then he gets dramatic improvement. Tell us the kind of messages you've been giving here at the National Congress. As people come through, maybe their cholesterol's high, maybe their blood sugar's high, you've been sharing information about exercise. Give our listeners some practical pointers.
I'd be happy to do that. We actually know that God intended us to be active, and He created us with a physical body. So when we start exercise, 80% of our blood flow is shunted to the working muscles. And two of the very main muscles are the heart and the brain that need to maintain this blood supply.
So the heart, of course, is a muscle. Most people would say, okay, the brain. Well, we're speaking about increasing blood supply, so the brain is controlling all the muscles. So
that's correct.
We might say the brain in that sense, and I appreciate your kind of emphasis, has got me thinking as a physician. I'm thinking, well, the brain's not really a muscle, but when you really put it that way, the brain is controlling everything, isn't it?
That's correct.
So we've got the brain getting more oxygen during exercise. We've got the heart muscle getting oxygenated and getting this good blood supply and getting the workout. What other key principles as we're trying to understand what exercise does?
Well, I'm just going to tell you some recommendations that we are giving to the people here. And, of course, the most common recommendation is to start a daily walking program.
Great.
And this is very sound advice because all you need is a good pair of walking shoes and you're ready to go. And it tends to be the least traumatic on the muscle and the joint systems. So with the added benefits of sunlight and fresh air, walking is a very excellent way and form of physical activity.
What I so appreciate about the emphasis on exercise, Laquita, and the simplicity of it, a lot of people tell me as a physician, they say, well, I don't have access to a gym or I can't afford a gym membership. But what you're talking about is very practical. You're saying, look it. You don't have to have an expensive gym membership. You don't have to have access to a beautiful tribal health center. Some people do, and that's great if they want to use those things. But if they don't, all you need is a halfway decent pair of shoes and just get out there and walk, right?
And you're on your way. But you also want to know that you want to make sure that it's something that you enjoy.
Okay.
You know, if you enjoy walking, wonderful. If you enjoy swimming, wonderful. But make sure that it's an exercise that you actually enjoy.
And presumably the reason for that is you want someone to stick with it, right?
That's right. We want you to do something that you're going to continue to do and enjoy doing. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to give you some of the benefits of exercise. Exercise can, of course, help you live longer, and it can decrease your risk of certain cancers. It can help you prevent heart disease, help you treat or decrease your risk of weight problems. It can give you the keys to diabetes treatment and prevention, and it can also treat and prevent high blood pressure. And, of course, it's good for mental health and helps your joints. And it can help decrease pain. It can prevent age-related functional impairment. And it can also decrease your risk of colds and other infections.
Now, Laquita, if we could put this into a pill, and if we were giving those pills out here at the National Congress, I think we would have had a line going way out, maybe even all the way out to the street here at the Portland Convention Center. But this is, some of those things that you read I'll just be honest with you. Even in the medical community, they've only recently brought to light, and I mentioned you're reading it because it's a handout that you're passing out to the people who come here to National Congress.
Right.
So we're just, if you're tuning in, listening to this show, we're trying to give you a flavor for really, look, you're not here, but we can't put the handout in your hand on the air. We can't show you a picture of it, but Laquita is walking you through some of the materials we're giving out. I can't say I'm giving it out, but the team here that's doing the screening is. But one of them, you know, that struck me is it wasn't all that many years ago where people with arthritis were being told that they could not exercise, that they needed to rest their joints. Now there's a whole program that the Arthritis Foundation, I believe, sponsors called, I think they call it PACE, People with Arthritis Can Exercise.
Right.
And this is right on target. So it's got all these benefits. Well, let me ask you this. Why aren't people doing it then? If it's got all these benefits, why is it so hard sometimes to get people to exercise?
Well, they say they're too busy,
okay,
or their schedule won't allow it. But then we just encourage them to walk for 10 minutes several times a day. Take the stairs instead of the elevator. Do simple things. Park a little further away from the place where you're going and walk a little extra. Mm-hmm. All these things will help.
Well, I noticed you carefully planned this event here. I'm actually staying in the same hotel as you are.
Yes.
And I've noticed it's probably, what, about three blocks to walk from the hotel here
right
to the convention center. So you're practicing what you're preaching here on the air, right?
That is true.
So is that deliberate? Because I know there's closer hotels. Did you stay a place that was a little further away so you'd get more exercise?
Well, we actually had our hotel reservations made for us, but we opted to walk rather than to drive because three blocks isn't very far, but it still gives you a little extra exercise, especially since we're doing a lot of sitting with what we're doing here.
And that concept is so important, Laquita. We heard these stories from Covita. And these little amounts of exercise, they add up and they count. And that's what the research is showing us.
That's right.
So you don't have to say, look, I don't have an hour and a half to, you know, drive to the health club or drive to the tribal center and exercise, get all sweatied up, shower, come back home. But you could do 10 minutes here. You could do 5 minutes here. I was fascinated to, I this is a hard thing to study, but I was trying to go through the medical literature, Laquita, and find the shortest amount of time that has been studied in the medical research literature that says there's definite benefit to this amount of exercise. The shortest study I could find, now maybe there is something else out there that I haven't found yet, but there's actually a study out there in the published literature showing that as little as 6 minutes of moderate exercise can measurably improve your immune system. And so data like that, I mean, yeah, you're busy, but can't you get in 6 minutes of exercise, right?
That's right. And you're also going to get a break, hopefully, at work. Well, go up and down the stairs a couple times or just walk around in your area for 5 or 6 minutes on your break. This is going to add up.
Excellent, excellent. So what other things are in this handout that you're sharing with NCAI participants who come through the screening?
Well, actually, that's pretty much all I'm doing, except that I'm telling some of the benefits of fresh air as well. And I don't know if this is something you want me to mention or not.
No, I think it's great because in Indian country, people think holistically. When you talk about exercise outdoors, there's all kinds of benefits. Share with us in a nutshell as we're winding up this segment some of the fresh air benefits.
All right. Air is one of the most essential elements needed to sustain life. Obviously, if we quit breathing, we're not going to live very long.
That's right.
It purifies the blood and sends the blood to every part of the body. It soothes the nerves, stimulates appetite,
helps digestion and induces sound sleep. So that's why you want to leave a window open at night to help get the fresh air that you need. And it also gets rid of the poisonous gases that will accumulate in a room without some fresh air.
I mean, great point. Great point. In fact, you know, I just heard about a case of carbon monoxide poisoning. Cracking the window if you don't have a carbon monoxide monitor could be a life-saving thing in some situations. We have to slip away, though. It's time for a break. Thanks for coming in, Laquita, for sharing your knowledge and giving us a greater flavor for what's happening at NCAI. I'm Dr. DeRose. We'll be right back with our final segment. Don't go away.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
Today's American Indian Living Radio program is sponsored in part by Weimar Center of Health and Education. Located in the foothills of Northern California's Sierra Mountains, Weimar is home to the residential New Start Lifestyle Program that helps people of all races address diabetes, heart disease, obesity, and related conditions. To further assist Native Americans with their health, Weimar produces a wealth of free resources that can be accessed on their website at newstartclub.com. To learn more about how Weimar can change your life, you can call 1-800-525-9192. The number again is 1-800-525-9192. Or you can access them on the web at newstartclub.com. Again, that's newstartclub.com.
Canned vegetables, bring them. Hey, Duncan, get over here. Need you to stay with me and your brother, okay?
I am.
Well, closer. Come on, help me out here, buddy. Excuse me. Duncan, you're blocking me out.
I want some bologna.
Not today.
But I need water.
Sorry. Duncan!
I want to put the number thing.
Too bad.
Mommy would let me.
Okay, well, she's not here, okay? She's gone, and she's not coming back, and you're just going to have to deal with it like the rest of us, okay? Duncan.
On May 29th, Michelle Jimenez was killed by a drunk driver. She left behind her husband and four children. Drinking and driving is a crime that kills abruptly, but the pain lasts forever. Friends don't let friends drive drunk. A message from the U.S. Department of Transportation, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to a pre-recorded broadcast of American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. 1-800-775-4673. Here again is your host.
This is Dr. David DeRose with the final segment of today's edition of American Indian Living, another special show from the National Congress of American Indians. And we've been especially tapping into some of the health professionals who've been doing some of the very fine screening at this event. You heard from two of the nurses that I've worked with in the past who happen to be working back in the same venue. Another friend that I've met in the past is Ed Burnett. Ed is a respiratory therapist from the Onondaga Nation, and he's been here doing some of the screening as well. What kind of experience have you had here, Ed, at NCAI?
Well, it's been the experience has been really great, and everybody's listening and taking advice. And I've been doing this for about 34 years now, and one of the things that we go over is to stop smoking.
Okay.
And how difficult it is. And I'm a previous smoker myself, and I chose to quit smoking back in 1990.
Tremendous.
But one of the things that you see with smoking is that if you reach out and touch a stove that's hot, you're going to get burned. So, you know, I'm not going to touch that stove again. But with smoking, you can continue to smoke, and then you don't have the problems until it's later in life and it's too late.
Right.
I mean, the sooner you quit, the better, but the longer you keep smoking, the more problems you're going to have, and it's going to become difficult. And if you can't breathe, nothing else matters. And if you haven't had that, if you don't smoke, don't start. And the other thing is, you're not going to quit smoking until you want to quit. You can't quit for your friend. You can't quit for your children or your wife. You have to make that decision that you want to quit for you. And then you'll quit and you'll get off of them and stay off of them.
Now, as a respiratory therapist for over 30 years, you've seen a lot of complications from smoking. Was seeing that part of what motivated you to stop smoking yourself?
No. Like I said, I was a respiratory therapist. I was in the Army, so I was running and still smoking. Mm-hmm. But it's that same thing. It's not bothering you. So if it doesn't bother you, then you're not going to quit. But then I was watching a movie, and I saw this movie star light a cigarette. And then him lighting that cigarette, I noticed my hand was moving to my pocket for me to light one.
Wow.
And I said, I don't want a cigarette. Mm-hmm. I'm just smoking because he's smoking. Mm. And then I looked into it farther, and that's where I started weaning down how much I was smoking. I was smoking up to 5 packs a day.
Whoa.
And I would smoke them right to the filter. And, of course, you can see how I'm trying to catch my breath now. Here I am in my 60s, and it's bothering me. It's not as bad as if I'd kept smoking.
Oh, I'm sure you wouldn't even be here, right?
Yeah. I'd probably be on breathing treatments and might even have a tracheostomy in by now. So those are things, and you never know what's going to turn it around. And if you are a smoker, just stop and think about your friends that you're with, that when you smoke a cigarette and they come down and start talking to you, they light one and smoke. Mm-hmm. When you finish, they're still smoking, so you light another one to finish the conversation. So it's a social thing, and it goes back and forth, and before you know it, you've already smoked 3 cigarettes. So if you can break away from that, try to drink more water, eat more vegetables, and a lot of times you'll be smoking because you're bored. You don't have anything else to do.
You know, one of the things that's fascinating to me, Ed, in Indian country is because tobacco has been regarded as sacred across tribal lines. There's often this tension in Indian country. Someone sometimes may feel like, well, if I stop smoking, I'm not really being fully an Indian. I mean, it's okay for me to smoke. Have you dealt with that dynamic in some of your interaction?
We haven't really had a problem like that. My nation is from the East, and where they use tobacco, they're not really inhaling the tobacco. It's more like a ceremonial thing where they just puff on it and let it go, or they'll take the raw tobacco to use in ceremonies like that. And it hasn't been a big thing. They don't widely just go out and smoke. And the other thing is, you're really not saying when you want to quit smoking, you say that you choose not to smoke. And your mind accepts that better. Because when you say I quit, and then if you happen to smoke a cigarette, you've been with a friend, and you take a couple puffs before you know about it, you say, I failed. So then you go out and you buy another cart and you buy another Zippo, and you say, I've failed. I'm a failure. Where if you say you've smoked that one, maybe two or three, and you say, I choose not to smoke, and then you choose not to smoke, you still keep the same time that you started choosing not to smoke and continue on from there. It may be another 3-4 years and just not thinking about it. Somebody hands you one, you take a couple puffs, choose not to smoke and continue on from there. It doesn't mean you've failed because you've slid back a little bit.
So it's basically a decision, and we're saying it's a powerful decision. If someone's saying, I just choose not to smoke, I'm making that decision today. And like we speak about in many areas of the addiction community, it's just a one day at a time, 1 hour at a time decision, right?
Right.
So here at the National Congress of American Indians, Ed, you've been having people come to you, especially for the various screenings. They've come for the cholesterol screenings we've heard. They've come for the blood sugar tests. Some have come to check their Coumadin, their warfarin, anticoagulation. Do you find that there's a lot of opportunities in those screening encounters to speak about a healthy lifestyle and to speak about some of your experience as a respiratory therapist?
Yes, there have been a lot of those, and not just on all aspects of health. But just before I came on, we were talking with some of the healthcare professionals about their children using having asthma and using inhalers. And a lot of times they won't tell you that you should use an inhaler with a spacer with an inhaler.
Okay.
And as like a spacer is a very important part. If you're using a spacer, you get 40 to 60% more of your medication. Because without it, you shoot the inhaler in the mouth, the large particles hit the back of the throat, and you cough the medicine back out. Mm. The large particles never go in anyway. So when you're using a spacer, the large particles fall out, and it allows you to inhale the smaller ones, and it gets it down in deeper in the lungs.
So a spacer would basically look like kind of a tube, almost like a empty paper towel roll that you'd put between the inhaler and your mouth?
Or a toilet tissue roll. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, you bring that up, they were doing some tests to see what else they could use besides a spacer because those are expensive.
Right.
And they found that the toilet paper roll worked better than the spacer.
Did it really? So. Well, that's an easy fix, isn't it?
It's like a little child when you give them an expensive present, and they use the cardboard box to play with it.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, it works just as well.
That's great. Well, Ed, I know you've been a tremendous asset here at the National Congress doing all these screening activities, and I so appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to join us on American Indian Living. As we close out this show, any final words of encouragement for our listeners?
Just keep working at it. You know, you're not a failure. Sometimes you just need to relook at it and choose not to smoke and continue on with good living, good breathing.
Powerful messages. Ed Burnett, he's Onondaga, he's a respiratory therapist, and he's making a difference here at the National Congress of American Indians. Hopefully today's show has given you a flavor for some of the exciting things happening in the health arena at NCAI. Of course, you can only just sample things through the eyes of these special shows we've done at this venue, but hopefully it's helped you to connect better with health throughout Indian country and make a difference in your life. For all of us with American Indian Living, I'm Dr. David DeRose, wishing you the very best of health.
Thank you for listening to American Indian Living. We hope today's program has contributed to your living a healthy life. American Indian Living Radio is brought to you by the Native Education and Health Initiative in partnership with the Lifestyle Center of America and Life Talk Radio. American Indian Living is also distributed through the public radio satellite system by American Indian Radio on Satellite, a service of Native American Public Telecommunications.